And we're just going to let God have his way. Amen? Amen? If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to John chapter 3. We began a new series last week called The Sacrifice of Love. And actually, we're leading up to that main point on the sacrifice of love. And the love of God is really an awesome thing. I mean, God is love. And the only thing that is qualified to define what love is and how love should be, that is the Bible. Amen? The Word of God. And if you read in John chapter 3, verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world." Aren't you glad that he loved the world? Amen? Love motivated God. Love moved God. And what did he do? That he gave his only begotten Son. What a great gift. Amen? It is the gift that keeps on giving. "That whosoever believes in him." How many whosoevers we have in here? The way to receive from love is you've got to believe. You've got to believe in him, all right? You've got to activate it by faith. "Should not perish, but have everlasting life." Isn't that a great gift? Everlasting life. Not everlasting sorrow, not everlasting death, but everlasting life. Then he goes on to say in verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." See, God, we don't come to church to get condemned. God is never waiting to beat you over the head for your mistakes. He didn't come to condemn the world, but what did he do? He came that the world through him might be saved. Listen, Jesus is the only answer for your trouble. He is the only way out. He is the only way to the Father. You're not going to have another way to the Father. You've got to go through Jesus. You can't get there by any other way. You can't get there through good works. You can't get there by having a certain position or coming from a certain family or looking a certain way or having a certain culture. You can only get there by putting faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And so we said some things last week about what love, first of all, love gives. The very nature of love means it gives. It shares. Love does not hoard things to itself, but it gives freely. Amen? When you need wisdom, the Bible says, "Let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and abradeth not." You got to understand, love gives, but how does love give? Love gives lavishly. Amen? Love gives its best. And you can see that in the gift that God gave the world through his Son Jesus. So love gives. Then we talked about how love takes risks. Amen? Love is willing to step out into the unknown. When you don't know what's ahead, when you don't know what's coming up, but love takes risks. Love will put itself out there. Amen? And you know, one thing that love does, love doesn't keep record of the hurts that it received. Because sometimes when you put yourself out there and it doesn't work out, it hurts, doesn't it? Well, you know what? That should never stop you from putting yourself out there. Let me tell you something. Satan uses abuse to try to get you to quit coming to receive from God's love. And Satan will go to great lengths. And we looked at the Good Samaritan. He took a risk, didn't he? He put himself out there. He helped a total stranger. That's what love does. So we have to understand that about love. If you want to know if you found true love, is it giving or is it taking? There's a difference right there. All right? And then we said that love rewards. All right? Through love, we receive forgiveness. I mean, good things work out for our good when we love God. That's a reward. Amen? And we looked at the story of Joseph and how things, yeah, he experienced some bad things, but also he experienced good things. You can look at Job, Job lost everything. But what did love do for Job? Love gave him double for his trouble. All right? So love rewards. There is a reward for love. When you put your faith in God, who is love, through Jesus Christ, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be blessed. All right? Love rewards. You know, in Romans 8:37, let's just go there for a minute. Romans 8:37. Hallelujah. Notice the reward for us loving God. Nay, in all these things, you know, Paul listed some things, such as tribulation, famine, sword, persecution, nakedness, peril. Through all these things, what? We are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loved us. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Because someone loved me. So God's love is a strength and a power and a blessing to you. It'll make you more than a conqueror. Amen? That's a benefit. That's a reward of love. All right? And then let's get into some other points here. Love lasts. Love isn't going to go anywhere. True love doesn't stop. It doesn't have an expiration date. Aren't you glad when God loves you, you're not going to get a message that says, this will expire in 20 years. It will not spoil. It will not go bad. It will not expire. Why? Because love lasts. Love is in it for the long haul. All right? Because love produces eternal life. How long is eternity? It's forever and ever. We can't even comprehend that God's love, he loved us from the beginning. His love will last. Amen? Go to John 13. John chapter 13. This is a great picture. Verse 1, John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to where? To the end. That means from the moment that Jesus arrived on the scene until he finished his love, he loved them to the end. All right? Now, his time on earth was just for a time, but now that he's in heaven, he hasn't stopped loving you. Matter of fact, he is sitting at the right hand of God right now, and he's ever living to make intercession for us. Because he wants more people to benefit from his love. Amen? He is praying for you and I that we would have opportunities to share his love with others. You know, Jesus was compelled to go from town to town, from village to village, from this town to the next town, to share about the love of the Father. Nothing could deter him from doing that. And you know, there's a beautiful picture here in this chapter here. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, see, because love gives. I want you to see how Jesus knew that the Father gave him all things into his hands. Jesus was confident in what God had given him. And that he was come from God and went to God. Jesus knew where he was coming from and he knew where he was going. Something like we should know, right? We should know where we come from. You didn't come from a monkey. You came from God. You're a created being. Amen? He rised up from supper and laid aside his garments. Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He still is. He was, he is, and he always will be. All right? Now, there's something to be said about laying aside your garments, laying aside your position, laying aside your title, and taking on the form of a servant. See, because love serves. He took a towel. He put off his garments and he put on a towel, you know, like an apron, and girded himself. And that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Can you imagine the leader of this worldwide ministry? He starts to wash the feet of his disciples. Now, that was a customary thing. Servants did that. And here, the leader, he puts aside his position. He puts aside his garments. And he begins to wash their feet and wipe them with a towel. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" You know, a lot of times people can react like Peter when God wants to do something in their life. "Oh, no, Lord, you don't have to do that. You shouldn't do that, Lord. That's too much, Lord." Who are we to say what God is about to do for you is too much? Amen? Why do we want to put God in a box? Why do we want to say, "God, I can only receive this way. I can only get healed if someone lays hands on me"? Really? There were a lot of people who didn't have hands laid on them that got healed. I want you to know that love's got a lot of ways to get things to you. Love is not limited on how it can express itself to you. God's love is not bound. He's got many ways. And Peter said, "You're going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter." Peter said unto him, "Lord, you shall never wash my feet." Peter almost missed out on a blessing because he was about to dictate to the Lord how the Lord wanted to do something. And sometimes the religion of man can do that for us. You know, maybe you come out of a religious background. Maybe you were part of a religious group. You know, people who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Anybody ever come out of a place like that? I grew up in a place like that. They had a form of godliness, but they had no power until I met Jesus for myself and realized that there was a whole lot more to this thing. Yes, what I do, you don't know now. Sometimes you don't understand all that God has for you in this moment. But you just have to receive it, not resist it. Amen? You just have to make yourself available and say, "I'm taking it. This is mine. I'm just going to receive it. Lord, put it in me. Pour it on me. Lavish it on me." Amen. To limit God on how he can love you or how he can express his love to you. Simon, Jesus answered, Simon Peter, Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Did Peter have a choice whether or not Jesus should wash his feet? He could have resisted, right? He could have taken the attitude that I'm gonna do my thing, I'm gonna do what I know to do, and you're not gonna do this, Lord. Once again, he's Lord, we're not, so who are we to say, "Lord, you have to do it this way. Lord, you can only bless me this way. Lord, I can only make money if I work for it." Really? Is work the only way that money can come to you? No. It's just one way. That is just one avenue. How many know that there are many streets in Palmyra? There are many ways to get to this church. There's more than one way, right? So you just let God take whatever way he wants to do. You let God do whatever method he wants to use at that moment. Well, once Peter heard this, he said, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." Peter said, I'm not going to stand in the way of this blessing. Amen? And sometimes we just got to allow God to do it the way that he wants to do it. Why? Because he loves you. We cannot tell someone else how to love us. Wives, is there only one way that your husband can love you? Husbands, is there only one way that your wives can love you? Where's everybody? That was only a couple. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere, and you are clean, but not all. And he was talking about Judas. So he had washed, verse 12, after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and was set down again and said to them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He gave us the greatest example of how to love others like he did. Jesus showed us right there. He was a living, breathing example of how to show love. Showing love could be as simple as washing someone's feet. It could be, if you see someone without a smile, give them one of yours. Right? A kind gesture, a kind word. You know, the Bible says that a word in season are like apples of gold, a word fitly spoken. It's like apples of gold. Your kind words, your kind gesture, you don't often understand the significance of God leading you to do that. But you just got to do it. Amen? So Jesus loves to the end. Go to John 15. John 15. And let's look at verse 9. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Why would he have to tell them to continue? Can you not continue in God's love? Have you ever met someone that does not continue in the love that they started with? Jesus even told one of the churches in Revelation, you've left your first love. How is that possible to leave your first love? It is because everybody has a choice. You have a choice as to whether or not you're going to receive God's love or you're going to reject God's love. And often the choices we make show up in how we behave. When someone rejects God, like the rich young ruler, we talked about him last week. Jesus made him an offer. Come, follow me, sell all your stuff, give to the poor. Now, does God tell that to everybody? Does he tell everybody to sell all your stuff and give to the poor? No, but that person needed it because that person didn't know how to give. What was his reaction? He walked away sorrowfully. His whole reaction, he was now experiencing the guilt of rejecting the offer that Jesus gave him. Amen? I wonder how many people leave our service on Sunday sorrowful because they didn't come up and receive what God wanted them to have. We don't have altar calls for the sake of having altar calls, but I believe that there are times when God wants to impart something. He wants to deposit something, and only the anointing can do that. So I often, every message demands a response. And I give people an opportunity to respond. And you can either respond or not. But it's available for the taking. Amen? And especially if God is putting on your heart and he's saying, go up and get it, go up and get it, go up and get it. That's all he can do. He can't physically take you out of the chair and bring you up. And then some people think, I've been prayed for 100 times. Why should I go up again? Because maybe the 101st time is the time that you get it. Amen? There's nothing wrong with coming up more than once. Jesus prayed for a guy twice. You mean Jesus prayed twice? Yeah. He prayed for a blind guy. And he said, "How are you? How's your vision?" He said, "Well, I see men as trees." Then he prayed for him again. What happened? His vision was clear. Jesus prayed for someone more than once. Absolutely. But see, I want you to understand love. Love lasts. Love gives. Love takes risks. Let's read further. So we're supposed to love the Lord. We're supposed to love as the Lord loves us. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments. Now, why did he say if? Because keeping God's commandments is not an automatic thing. Once again, it's a choice. You don't have to keep God's commands. But then if you don't, God doesn't have to bless you. You shall abide in my love. Why don't you come and hang out in the house that love built? It's a beautiful place. It's comfortable. It's peaceful. Joy resounds in every room of the house that love built. Amen? Abide in God's love. That means to abide in God because God is love. God created his love to be abided in, to be dwelt in, to hang out in, to have fun in. In the love that house built, the refrigerator is never empty. The cupboards are never bare. Why? Because even in the presence of your enemies, God can prepare a table before you. God wants you more focused on what's on the table than your enemy. Just tell the enemy, say, "Don't bother me now, I'm eating. I'm enjoying this bread of life, this new wine. The word that's sweeter than honey." Those are things that set on God's table, you know. He wants you more focused on what's on the table than your enemy. That's why he sets the table in the presence of your enemies. And guess what? Your enemy doesn't have a seat at the table. Abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So abiding in his love is directly connected with keeping commandments. You want to abide in the love? Keep the commandments. You want to get out of love? Don't do the commandments. It's very easy to abide in love, but it's also easy to get out of love by not doing what God said. Because everything that God says is a command. Abide in my love. Because love lasts. Listen, if you dwell in love, it's not going to fall apart tomorrow. Love can withstand the most intense pressure. It can hold up in the most difficult trouble. See, the Bible describes God as being a strong tower. But in order to find safety in the strong tower, you got to run to the strong tower. You can't say, "Look, there's the strong tower. How come I'm not safe?" Because you're not in the strong tower. You're looking at it from the outside, but you got to get in the strong tower. You got to go to the strong tower. You got to climb up, and you got to get in it. Then you'll find safety. What are you going to do when all your closest people turn against you? Like King David. He was out on a raid. He was based in Ziklag. Him and his mighty men, they would go out and they would defeat kings, they would defeat things, and so they were on this mission, and they were fighting enemies, and they came back to find out that an enemy had attacked them at Ziklag when they weren't there. And that's often how the enemy works. You'll find that you're somewhere else and the enemy will attack an area where you're over here and he attacks there. And you come back and he wants you to be devastated. He wants you to cry over the loss. He wants you to get so emotionally involved. When David came back, every building was burned. All the women and children were taken. So when he got back from the battle, there was no son or daughter to hug him. There was no wife to say, "Welcome back. I missed you." They were gone because they were taken. And David's mighty men, they were going to stone David. You know, isn't it amazing how when anything happens, it's always the leader that gets the target. Amen? David didn't have anybody to encourage him. He didn't have anybody to give him a pep talk. He didn't have a cell phone to call everybody and start a prayer chain. But what did David do? He put his confidence in the love of God. And the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. There are times when no one may be around you and you got to pull yourself up by your spiritual bootstraps. And you need to, you got to have such faith and confidence in the love of God that you can encourage yourself in the love of God when no one else is around you, because love will encourage you. And David ran to that safe place. He ran to that strong tower and he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in love. And he asked this question. He said, God, should I pursue and will I overtake and will I recover? And God said, pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover all. When he put his faith in the love of God, he was able to take back what was lost. Let me tell you something. I don't care what mistake you made. I don't care what you've done in the past. But when you put your faith in the love of God, you can recover. You can be restored. Things can be brought back to you. But you got to abide in his love. You can't be a wishy-washy in the love of God one day and out the next day. In the one day and out the next day. I don't read a commandment that says thou shalt be wishy-washy. But I do read where the Bible talks about being steadfast, immovable, unshakable. Verse 11, what happens when you abide in love? These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. When you abide in his love, his joy remains in you. And when his joy remains in you, your joy is no longer empty. Your joy begins to overflow. But it's in connection. If your joy isn't overflowing, then you're not abiding in his love. You need to switch places. I didn't say this. Jesus did. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. This is my commandment. Not a suggestion. Not a if you feel like it. This is my commandment. That you love one another. As I have loved you. How you deal with people is a reflection of how you deal with God. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. How do I do that? You look at how Jesus loved people and you do the same. Amen? Did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Did he tell them to wash other people's feet? Can we do that? Can you love people like God loves you? Say, I can love people like God loves me. Say, I love people because God loves me. Say, God's love is in me. God's love is shed abroad in my heart. And I can love people. Say, today, I release love by faith. That means that now how you love people is not based on how they treat you. It's based on what God said. So irregardless, listen, did they treat Jesus nice? They criticized him. They spit on him. They mocked him. And they crucified him. And what did he say after having the nails pounded in his flesh, after having been whipped, after having been beaten, after having the crown of thorns? Father, forgive them. Some of you need to forgive people. It's your unforgiveness that has disconnected you from the love of God. When you forgive people, you put it under the blood. That means they don't owe you anything anymore. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. Yeah, but I know what God did to me. I know what Jesus did on the cross. That's all I need to know. It's under the blood. And if Satan brings it up, you tell him it's under the blood. And if he brings it up again, says, listen, buddy, your future's in trouble. When you tell him about his future, he'll leave you alone. So love is something that you can abide in. It's something that you can do. It's something that you can have. It's something that you can benefit from. Love is both ways. You receive love and you give love. You receive God's love. And if your love tank is empty, go to your prayer room. Or begin to worship the Lord. Begin to declare who God is. Start with A. He's the Almighty. B, he's my best friend. C, he's the Christ. You go through the alphabet and you'll forget your problem by the time you get to Z. Amen? Another thing that love does, love moves and love acts. Love is always active. It will act in every possible way. He who loves is with all his affection and desire carried forward to the beloved object in order to possess and enjoy it. That's from Adam Clark. Love is always active. Go with me to John chapter 14. John 14. And let's look at verse 31. Notice what Jesus said. But that the world may know that I love the Father. Isn't it interesting how he wanted the world to know that he loved the Father? See, love is not afraid to show itself. Some of you men were probably told as a young boy not to cry because it shows weakness. That's a lie. What do you think? God made you without tear ducts? Are you a person that your tear ducts are dried up, that you never get overwhelmed with emotion? What did Jesus do at Lazarus' tomb? He wept. So I want to free you men right now. If you are ever told not to cry, don't buy that lie. And if you feel the urge to cry, listen, it's just God window cleaning. The eyes are the windows of your heart. When you cry, it's just window cleaning. Let him clean the windows. You ever read in Psalms where David wept? Oh, David was no wimp. He was a manly man. He killed bears and lions and giants. Oh, my. Notice, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, notice this phrase, even so I do. Arise, let us go there. Jesus did, Jesus moved, Jesus acted. He took God's commandment and he put it into practice. He told a woman caught in adultery, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. He told Peter, his closest associate, who denied him. After he denied him, he said, Peter, do you love me? Well, you know I do, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Then go feed my sheep. He didn't talk once. After Peter denied him, he didn't speak of it once. Because he forgave Peter. He loved Peter. He acted on the word of God. The people, the Pharisees that criticized him, he said, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He walked in love. He demonstrated love, and yes, he was mistreated. But just because you're mistreated is no excuse to stop loving. Love is not based on treatment, it's based on the word. Love moves and love acts. Love changes when it's corrected. Oh, boy. Say, Lord, Pastor, why did you have to say that? You were doing good until you got to that point. Love seeks out the ones it loves. Why did Jesus come to this earth? He left heaven. He left glory, and he became a man. Why? Because he loved us. And that was the only way that we could get reconnected to the Father. Love follows faithfully. You know, I think of the Apostle John. You ever read where the disciple whom Jesus loved was laying on Jesus' bosom? Is talking about John. He had a special relationship with Jesus where at dinner he could just lean back on him because he loved him. And who did Jesus reveal the revelation to? It was John, the very disciple that loved him. And you know, love follows faithfully and hopefully. You ever read in 1 Corinthians 13, love believes the best? Then why are you believing the worst? When you hear the worst about someone, are you quick to believe that or are you quick to believe the best? Listen, sometimes I have to do funerals of people that I don't know where they believe. And you know what I do? I focus on the best that I can. Amen? Not the worst, the best. Love believes the best of every person. Go to Luke 11:28. Luke 11:28. Hallelujah. Are you getting something out of this today? So love lasts. Love moves and acts. See, basically, love is a choice and love is action. When a person says that they love God, great. You love God. Now, where are the actions that demonstrate that? See, love just doesn't say it. Love does it. What love says and what love does are in perfect unity and harmony. There's no difference between what love says and what love does. That's not love. Love acts. Love moves. Okay? And Luke 11 and verse 28. He's talking to some people. He said, but yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. Right? Is that what he said? Am I missing something? You mean I can't just hear the word of God to be blessed? What must I do with what I hear? Blessed are they who hear the word of God and do it or keep it. Okay, you've been hearing, this is your second message on love, the sacrifice of love. And you can say, woo, I heard a great sermon. Now, how are you putting that sermon into practice tomorrow when you go to work? When you got to deal with those people that aren't so lovable? Those people that get under your skin. How are you gonna walk in love then? Huh? Because God doesn't expect us to love others with our own love, our own strength, our own ability. We can't. But through him, we can do what? All things, because Christ strengthens us. So his very strength, his very power enables you to do what he tells you to do. That's why whenever God says something, we can't say, I can't. If God said it to you, you can do it. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God. Just because you heard a good message doesn't make you just. But the doers of the law shall be justified. When you make a mistake, what should you do? Starts with an R. Repent. Because maybe you didn't intend to make a mistake. Maybe you just made the mistake. How many know that we can miss it? We live in this flesh, unregenerate body. And this body has a voice. This body has desires. This body has needs. And sometimes we simply just let this body get out of control. Amen? We've all been there, so I'm not pointing the finger, because if I did, I had 3 points back at myself. So I don't point fingers. So, love the one who does the law, the one who does what is right. When you love God, there's things that you've got to do. And see, it's not based on works, it's simply you're responding to God's commands. Okay, but he goes on to say, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. So when a person who doesn't even have the law, when they act in accordance with the law, when they follow the law, they're reaping the benefit of it. You know, a heathen business owner can tithe and he'll reap the benefit of the tithe. Because he's enacting a principle. When you enact a principle, now, granted, sometimes if your life isn't lining up, it's not going to work. All right? But when you enact a principle, you're going to get the benefit. And he goes on to say, verse 15, which show the work of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, who while accusing or else accusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. But God's ultimate goal is he wants his law written on your heart. Why should you follow the law? Because you love God. Amen? Your response to God's law should not be out of duty. It should be out of love. Do you realize? Sometimes we don't understand God gives us commands for our protection. Why do we tell kids not to touch a hot stove? Because it'll burn them. See, a little child doesn't understand the consequence until that consequence happens. So as a parent, we say, don't do this, because we're trying to protect the child, because we know if the child does this, they could be harmed. See, so God's commands are not to restrict you. They're to give you life. They're to protect you from evil. They're to help you enjoy the things of God. So don't look bad at what God commands, but have his law written in your heart. Be a doer of the law, because it's written in your heart, because it's in your nature, because God gave you so much and you want to give God so much. Why, once again, why did Mary Magdalene follow the Lord? Because she had 7 devils cast out of her. God did such a work in her life that she left her old life, she left her old way of living, and she started following God full time. She was there at the cross. She was there at the tomb. Because God did such a work in her life, she was a beneficiary of the love of God. And so she dedicated the rest of her life to follow God. And then finally, let's culminate this point today, talking about the sacrifice of love. Go to John 10. John 10. You know, when you love, it's going to involve sacrifice. Did you know that love is always the one to sacrifice first? It's always willing to give of itself, its time, its resources first. John chapter 10, verse 17, Therefore, does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again? No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So we see here, the sacrifice of love is to lay itself down. Amen? It has the power to pick it up. It has the power to lay it down. In other words, no one took Jesus' life. He laid it down. He gave it as an offering. He paid a ransom. He paid our debt, which we could not pay. He didn't owe a debt, but he paid our debt. Can you say amen? Say, Jesus paid my debt. Hallelujah. Sin sucked the life out of you, and he dealt with sin so that he could put life back in you. But Jesus laid down his life for you. He was inconvenienced for you. If you think coming to earth out of heaven, I mean, you think about that. Going from where no darkness is to where darkness is. Going to where no limit is to having limits. Jesus never got tired in heaven. Jesus never had to take a nap in heaven, but he did while he was on earth. Why did he do that? He did that for you. Say, he did it for me. He laid down his life. That is the sacrifice of love, is to lay down your life. And notice, God commanded him to do that. He laid his life down because he was in obedience to God's command. He was in obedience to what God said. Well, you know, if God was to tell you to lay down your life, you may think, well, that's unreasonable, is it? Is what God tells you to do unreasonable? See, in our natural mind, we might think it's unreasonable. But in God's mind, see, he has a different purpose. He has a different mentality. You know, nothing he says is without purpose. God is not a flippant God. You know, he wasn't surprised when man sinned. He knew it was going to happen. Go to John 15. Back to John 15. Look at verse 13. You want to get some great love? Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Wow. How many of you are willing to give your life in exchange for someone else that they can live? I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm just asking you to think about this now for a minute. Greater love has no man than this. What if we were to put a husband in there? Greater love has no husband than this, than he lay down his life for his wife. It's funny how some things just give silence. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Whatsoever. That's telling me that no command from God is without merit. Whatsoever. When you do whatsoever God tells you to do. Just as an example. Caleb, I just want you to, I'm not asking you to do this, but just as an example. Pretend I'm God. And God's speaking to you, and you're praying, and God says, Caleb, on Sunday, I need you to give so-and-so a hug. Now, you may not know why they need that or what they're going through. God's just telling you whatsoever. And, you know, that may be a challenge for Caleb. But because he loves God, he comes on Sunday, and he sees the person, and his heart starts to beat real fast. But because he loves God, he does it. He lays down his life. What that means is you put your feelings aside. You put your emotions aside. You lay down your life. You be willing to be inconvenienced. You be willing to step out and to do something maybe that you've never done before. So Caleb does it. He goes to that person, he gives them a hug, and that all of a sudden that person starts to break down. Because we don't know what they're dealing with, but God does. And God just needs one person to minister life to them. And that little gesture, that whatsoever that God commands, brings great blessing. So that's just an illustration of how that works. Verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his master, what the Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father have made known unto you. Isn't that awesome how the Lord shares with us what he hears from the Father? God includes you in his master plan. And every one of us has a part in the master plan. Just do your part. Just do what God's told you to do. Do your part. Amen? That's all God wants, is to do your part, is to lay down your life. This is the greater love. This is the top level of love. When you get to this level, listen, there was a man by the name of Abraham. And for 25 years, Abraham held on to a promise of God that said, you're going to be a father of many nations. The only thing is, when God gave him that promise, he had no children. His wife was barren. They tried and tried, but they could not have kids. Then God speaks to them, and this promise is in his heart. And he carries this promise. And there were times that he doubted. There were times that he looked at what he didn't have versus what God said. Like we all do sometimes. God speaks to you and you begin to look at the circumstance more than what God said. So after 25 years, now he's 99 and Sarah is 90. What happens? The promise that he's been carrying around for 25 years is activated. And Sarah and Abraham, they have a night to remember, and Isaac is born 9 months later. Amen? And so this precious gift, this thing that he believed God for, this son, his only son, he loved Isaac with all of his heart. And Isaac gets to a certain age, and God says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. But I want you to notice something. Abraham had grown in his love for God. See, when your love for God grows, you trust him more. There's nothing between you and God. You don't hold on to anything. Whatever God asks, you do because you love him. And Abraham grew in that love. So what did he do? He didn't weep that night. When God gave him this whatsoever command to sacrifice his son, he got up early the next morning. Him and a couple servants and Isaac, they went 3 days' journey. And Abraham said to the servants, you stay here, me and the boy are going to go and worship, and we shall return. Sometimes the very thing that God gave you and that you love, God may ask you for it just to see where your heart is. Like he asked for Abraham. You can read about this in Genesis 22. So Abraham went there. He had the altar. And now Isaac was a sharp boy. He said, okay, Dad, I see the thing for the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham smiled and looked at his son. He said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. So he tied up his son, put him on the altar. Isaac's on the altar. The knife is in Abraham's hand. It's raised because he was the ultimate. Abraham laid down his life for God. That means, God, whatever you ask, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And there was Abraham with the knife raised, and he heard a sound from heaven. He says, Abraham, Abraham, don't kill the boy. And just at that moment, there was a ram in the thicket. And Abraham got the ram, and God said, now I know your heart, Abraham. Now that I know that you've kept nothing from me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless the world through you. And just as God, a man was willing to give up his son, so God was willing to give up his son for us. I can remember when I was figuring out what God wanted me to do in my life. This was my prayer. I worked at a place about maybe 15 blocks from where I lived. And oftentimes I would leave my car at work and I would walk home and pray. This was my prayer. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be. I didn't put any limitation. I just allowed God to lead, God, and direct as he saw fit. And I prayed that many times. I would walk several nights. I prayed that over a long period of time, several days, couple weeks. And I'm praying that, and I'm thanking God. And finally, God showed me exactly what I needed to do. He showed me the next step. And guess what? That was another faith step. Because I didn't know what was ahead, but I took that step because why? I love God. And I wanted God to work in my life. Young people, you need to get a hold of this. Now's the time when you're being formed and fashioned in your minds that you need to make up your mind that whatever it takes, you're going to follow God. Because God won't let you down. When you put your faith in the love of God, you will be blessed. Because the ultimate goal of love is to sacrifice, to give everything. Was there anything that Jesus held back? You can't, I mean, if you're hanging naked on a tree, you can't hold back anything, can you? You know, if we could only visualize everything that Jesus went through in the crucifixion. I mean, some movies have given a pretty good portrayal, but if we only knew what God had given to us. Did you know that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners? We were not good. We were not followers of God, but Christ died for us. And in him dying for us, he gave us an opportunity to change and to follow a different course. Because the ultimate goal for love is to sacrifice. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to get ready to close. If you want to know how to love your neighbor, come next week. God gives us a way that we can actually love, I mean, not our neighbor, our enemy. Anybody has any enemies? You want to know how to love them? Come next week. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Did he say if you want to? No. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God expects you to be a follower. He expects you to follow him, follow his example. But he goes on to say, and walk in love. Also, walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So what does God expect us to do? To walk in love. When you follow Christ, you walk in love. To follow Christ means to walk in love. And Christ gave you the example. Do what he did. Say what he said, and you'll be okay. Amen? And when you do, you'll experience the benefit of the sacrifice that he made. Love is a sacrifice worth making. Amen? God didn't have any guarantee that the world would put their faith in his son. But love put itself out there, and those who do reap from the benefits of love. Amen? I just want you to know today that God loves you. And he has good things for you today. And you're here not only to hear about it, but you're here to act on it. And if you're here today and you need a touch from the love of God, God's power, God's anointing, and God's love is here to touch you. Only God's love can give you what you need. Amen? And some things are better caught than taught. Amen? So if you're here today and you need to receive of the love of God, I don't care for what, I don't care what you need, God knows. Amen? But I believe that God uses the power of touch. A simple touch can transfer something to you that you didn't have before. Amen? So if you're here today and you've heard this, you've heard what we said about love, come and receive of the benefit of the love of God today. Amen? I believe that there are some people here, maybe you're dealing with some things. Amen? Love's your answer. Love's your solution. Love is your healer. You need healing in your body? Listen, God wants you to be healed because he loves you. I mean, there's no parent that wishes sickness on their child. If that's the case, the parent needs to be slapped, but that's a different story. So you're here today. God brought you here. You're not here by circumstance. You're here by design. The greatest way that God can touch you with his love is you let Jesus be your Savior. If you're not born again, I want you to come right now and accept Jesus as your Savior. Amen? Seal the deal. Maybe you need to be healed by love. Maybe you need to be touched by love. Maybe you need to be filled with love. Amen? Whatever it is that you need, love's got it. Love wants to give it to you. Love wants to show you. Love wants to demonstrate to you. So come now in Jesus' name. Come and receive the benefits of love. If you're here today and you feel drawn in your heart, God's got something for you today. Oh, we love you, Lord. And those of you, if you don't feel compelled to come up, just begin to worship the Lord. Begin to look, pray to him. Amen? Pray for the people that come up, that they get what they need in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Come and line up over here. There's some spaces over here. Fill up the spaces so that we're not against the wall here. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Now, for those of you that are up here, I just want you to open up your hearts. Amen? I'm going to touch you in the name of Jesus, and God's going to give you what you need. Do you believe that? Say, I'm here to receive because God loves me. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, just activate the anointing and make a rich deposit in these, Father, in Jesus' name. Let them know that your love is alive. Let them know the power of your love. Father, let them experience the goodness and the grace of your love right now in Jesus' name. We're going to start down here. Hallelujah. Oh, just receive of the love of God in the name of Jesus. Receive of the love of God right now. Just be filled and full in Jesus' name. May the love of God touch you in Jesus' name. We release the power of love. In the name of Jesus.